business to new insane revenue levels doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's all about the right strategy, team, efficiencies, and confidence. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Evolution Podcast. With over 1 million downloads, it's the go-to business podcast dedicated to business owners who want to evolve out of operating in the day-to-day and make their dreams come true. I'm your host, Annette Walter, and I'm so happy you are here. As a former banker, I have now been an entrepreneur for over 15 years and have started, grown, acquired, and sold over 20 multi-million dollar companies to date. Together, you and I will strengthen your existing business, build your dream team and process, grow your wealth and legacy, all while surrounding you with a community of rockstar entrepreneurs just like yourself. Are you ready to evolve? Let's get started. Welcome to today's Entrepreneur Evolution Podcast. I am joined today by David Weaver. He has a diverse and comprehensive entrepreneurial background to draw as a franchise consultant. Do you know what that means? Franchise. He helps you select the franchise of your dreams. So if you are thinking about starting a business and you want to go into the franchise space, or perhaps you have a business and you are looking to expand your existing portfolio and considering a franchise, David is worth knowing. He has a wonderful network of resources, and I love everything that he adds to this conversation. Honestly, we could have had this conversation go on for hours and hours and hours. I really love this topic. I just am fascinated by the models and the different types of franchises out there, specifically those that are doing really well in this market. So we talk a little bit about that. So make sure you pay close attention to the conversation. And I know that you will walk away with lots of good nuggets of information. Thanks for being here. And as always, make sure you hit subscribe if you haven't done so already. And leave a review, and a 5-star rating always goes a long way for us here at iEvolve Consulting. If you haven't had the chance to schedule some time with me to talk about your business and what's going on in your world, let's make sure we do that. There's a link below in the show notes, and I look forward to our conversation and you learning from my conversation today with David. Enjoy and keep evolving. Welcome, David. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, Annette. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, thanks for being here. Today, we're joined by David Weaver. He is the president of Franchise Your Freedom. I love the topic of franchising and franchises. And I know that a lot of people in our audience either are in the franchise business or have that like hope and want and need and yearning to learn more about it. So this is going to be a fun topic. Now, I like for you to start really wherever you want. So you can take us as far back to, you know, your childhood days where you had that moment you knew you wanted to be an entrepreneur, to post-college where you didn't know what you wanted to do. What's your story?
Man, if you want to go back to childhood, I would say I had an English teacher in high school that basically was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I'm going to own a company. And her response to that was, that's really hard. I don't know. There's not very many people that are successful in business. And I just looked at her as, I don't know, 15, 16 years old. I was like, what are you talking about? That's what I'm going to do.
Right? I love it. You and I would have been good friends.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know why you want to work for somebody else. So anyway, it took me a long time to get to a position where you pull the trigger, because life gets in the way, and then you have kids, and then you got a house to support and whatever. And so then all, you know, and it kind of creeps away from you. And I think there's a lot of people out there, especially the folks that I talk to, that want to start a franchise because they're deeply rooted in corporate America and they're looking for a path to get out of corporate America. And what does that look like? So what I get to do today is share my experience in how do you create that bridge or that path to business ownership through franchising. So it's an absolute blast working with hundreds of people a year. I've been doing this for over a decade. Awesome. But lots of fun. So, but to get back to your question, how did I start? Always thought that I would be a business owner. I did the corporate America thing like many people. I would say two stops in my career path really helped me to perform in what I do today as a franchise consultant and helping people identify the right franchise to invest in. One was I worked for the family business. So I grew up with two entrepreneurial parents. I won't go too much into that story, but at the end of the day, I was working in corporate America. My dad had a retirement business. So he sold the big family business that had uncles and cousins involved, et cetera. Right. And at 58 years old, he felt like I'm too young to retire and too old to go get a job. Right. And that actually is exactly where many of the candidates that I work with feel like I've got more to do and I'm not ready to retire yet. Right. And so I left my corporate job in Colorado. I went back to Detroit to work in the family business, which was a foundry. We were heavy manufacturing. Yep. We melted metal down to make castings for the robotics industry for the big three, the Ford, General Motors, Chrysler.
Wow.
So that was heavy operations. Yes. What I learned in that ended up being a massive turnaround. That was early 2000s, so a long time ago now. But the like today, the economy was going through a major pivot and a major shift, and the auto industry ended up falling on its face in that early 2000 timeframe. And that's what I call my real life MBA. So yes. I learned how to run a business in a really tough economic environment.
Yes.
And so the net result of all of that is I learned two things. I don't want to be part of the family business because there's lots of cliche around family business, right? So I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. But I also learned how to implement ISO 9000 quality control process.
Right.
In that process, A, it's very expensive to implement. B, it takes a very long time to get that business to create the structure around all aspects of the business. Absolutely. So that you can have a life, right? Mm-hmm. Because as entrepreneurs, we get stuck in our business. We get stuck doing and being integral to every aspect of the business. And that's frankly not very much fun, right? Mm-hmm. So I effectively implemented ISO 9000. And what I realized is we could produce more output with 11 to 13 employees than we used to produce with 25 to 30 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say running a business with 10 to 15 employees is way more fun than running one with twice as many employees.
Yes.
It was easier to manage. And we were managing the business to the system, not to what the employee was doing or not doing, right? So it takes that personality out of it. And so that was a really big aha in how do you effectively run a business? And more importantly, fast forward 20 years, how do you run more than one business? You got to have a system to run it against because
absolutely,
yeah, because otherwise you're stuck in it. So I leave the family business. I come back to Colorado and I just needed a job. And there was a small finance company, privately held finance company that wanted to penetrate the franchise space, knew very little about franchising. This is now 2005 timeframe.
Okay.
And I kind of thought to myself, I want to support small business because I'm a big small business fan. I was even back then. And I want to be in a segment that can't be outsourced to China, India, you know, Philippines, right?
Absolutely, right.
So my thought was small business and or real estate. Mm-hmm. And today, that's what I invest in, small business and real estate. But the goal there was to help penetrate the franchise space for this finance company. So I set up finance programs. And what I learned in that extent, which was about 5 to 7 years, I think,
okay,
was what do the banks look for in a business that allows them to be comfortable in lending money, right? So really understanding unit economics and the commonalities between thousands of small business loans that I got to underwrite, right? Super fun business. I really had a good time doing that, but I learned a ton about the financial metrics that are necessary. So when you take the financial unit economics metrics, and you pair that with the systematizing of a business, that ended up being pretty powerful.
Absolutely. Right? Yes.
And then the 2008 financial meltdown, I was in the banking industry. The banks were no longer lending money.
Right.
So that was my cue to exit. I had a corporate experience there that basically told me it's time. Just do what you want to do. So I at that point, I bought a bar on DU's campus, Denver University's campus.
Fun. Love this.
Terrible, terrible business decision.
Lots of late nights.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And partners and the whole, so I learned a lot in that. And I also started my franchise consulting business at the same time. Consulting ended up being a win. Owning a bar ended up being a lose. So I always say when you lose, you need to learn. And so you either win or learn. So I learned a lot in that experience. But so that's sort of my entrepreneurial journey. Today, my wife and I invest in franchise assets. We invest in real estate assets. And I also coach people on how to create their path for their entrepreneurial journey through franchising.
Okay. So taking them from that corporate world to like sourcing the right franchise, or once they've kind of crossed that bridge, helping them really grow that franchise.
So really more sourcing. So I view my consulting practice more like an executive recruiter in the franchise space.
Okay. Yep.
And so how I do that is share my own investment philosophy with people who haven't done it before.
Yes.
And the goal there is to get them to look at the franchise space like a business investor, so that we're not shopping for a franchise like a consumer, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is a business investor is going to focus on the business model, the business characteristics that you want in a business, and match that to different franchise brands, so that we're not chasing down the widget, the you know, whether it's fitness or food or you know, tutoring kids or whatever. That is less important to me than the fundamentals of the business, so that you can ultimately find a business that you want to own 5 years later and is going to help you achieve your goals and dreams, et cetera. So it's a total blast. Walking people through a very defined educational process and watching their kind of the light bulb go off, right? Like, this is, I get it. I understand that I can make this bridge and replace my income over a couple of years and things like that. It's so fun.
Right. It is so fun. I'm like, sign me up. Like, I want to help you right now, because it's just, you're speaking my language, like, completely. You know, and there's so many different types of franchises out there. And when you can build that confidence in someone to really make that leap from corporate world, that must be so rewarding. So do you see, and I love that you're in Colorado and I'm in Maryland, because there's so many different types of franchises out on the West Coast that we don't have on the East Coast yet, and vice versa, right?
Right.
So what are you seeing as the most popular, I'll say industries, I won't make you nail down kind of any specific growing ones, but are you seeing it more so in food and beverage, or are you seeing it more so in fitness or in education space? Is there anything that's like thriving right now?
So COVID is, you know, has sort of turned things upside down and sideways. And so we kind of had, if you go before COVID, 17, 18, 19, there was a big trend towards brick and mortar, semi-absentee, I want to own multiple locations, I'm going to put a manager in the business, right? So those look like food and fitness and things that kind of got hurt by COVID.
Right.
And so then as we go into COVID, everybody wanted service-based companies, because a lot of the money was diverted away from those things towards, you know, fixing your home, right? So brands that were in what I call simple, tried and true business segments, painting, plumbing, roofing, gutters, those businesses thrived because they had no restrictions as it related to COVID, and that's where everybody put their money. So those businesses are still, they've always been my favorite, and that really, to be honest with you, because they're what I call them, non-sexy, right? They're tried and true. They don't make great cocktail conversation, but they're really good businesses to own.
Right.
So as we come out of COVID, everybody's really focused on health and wellness, right? Right. we've recognized that, and this was actually before COVID. We, my wife and I owned a couple of locations of Elements Massage pre-COVID, 13 to 17 timeframe. Right. Built those up and sold them. But that segment has really gotten a lot of traction coming out of COVID because the trend is, you know, the Western medicine scenario doesn't work very well. And it really, we got a big spotlight on that because of COVID and the vaccine and how everybody felt about that.
Right.
So what are you going to do about it? I'm going to invest my time and money investing in myself.
Right.
As it relates to health and wellness, because I'm going to control my own health and wellness. I'm not going to rely on the healthcare system or the government or whatever. And so those brands, there's a whole bunch of growth in brands in that segment as well. And then we've got the great resignation and the quietly quitting and all the stuff that's going on in corporate America that is really supercharged this idea of control your own future and path, right? So entrepreneurship is on the rise. I absolutely love it. It's super fun.
I love
fun.
It too.
Yeah. So
it's so fun to watch, isn't it? And like what I always think, and I'm sure you think like this too, is like getting ahead of the trend. Like, okay, yeah, we're seeing all of that. So then, you know, what is that going to be next? Right. So do you have a lot of companies? I know that you're targeting more so that, you know, corporate next chapter, I want to, you know, find the perfect franchise that already exists. Do you have a lot of people come to you saying, I've got a great business, I want to franchise this?
Yes. Frequently.
Okay. So tell us about that, because I mean, I could think about like five people right now.
Yeah. I actually just had a conversation. So somebody that I was helping 9 months ago, calls me up and says, hey, I got a friend that wants to franchise their business and they're, do you mind talking to them? So, that's not my business, but my business is helping people. And so I love helping, especially entrepreneurs that want to scale and expand.
Right.
I've been in the franchise business since 2005, so I know a lot about it. And I'm happy to help. But at the end of the day, there's a couple of things you need to be clear about before you take this step into franchising. Okay. The first thing is, why do you want to franchise? Right. So let me give you I hesitate.
It's okay. We won't hold you to anything.
I don't want to. I don't want to talk about the brand, because this brand about 5 years ago, 5 or 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to talk to these folks as they were coming from another country to the United States to really grow their franchise. They started franchising somewhere else.
Wow.
And so I had an opportunity to kind of be an early investor in that, and I just had a conversation. I wouldn't say we even took it that far. The point is, I recognized the way they wanted to go to market and the why they wanted to go to market really did not align with my philosophy and what I know drives success.
Right.
They had a good idea. They wanted to franchise because they wanted to use other people's money to expand. I think that's the philosophical rub. That I don't like to support franchises that do that. They ended up being wildly successful.
Okay.
And
can you say what industry?
Fitness.
Okay, fair.
And today they are all in the news for the big meltdown, which I knew was going to happen way before they started, right?
Right.
And so that really has to do with the philosophical reason why you franchise. And so I learned this back in the finance days, because I had to underwrite the franchisor before we were going to put our money behind their growth, right? And what I learned in that is some franchise brands grow the right way, in my opinion, and some grow in the wrong way, in my opinion.
Right.
And so you need to identify that up front. And so that's one of the benefits that I deliver to my candidates is, I want you looking at this brand for a reason. And I don't necessarily go really deep into those reasons, but it has a lot to do with how they support those franchisees and what is their path to growth, and a lot of details that are not necessarily material, but to the candidate in selecting the brand.
Yes.
It is very material in their projection and long-term success, because business is hard enough, right?
Absolutely. Integrity, impact, you know, all of those things, right? Oh my goodness. I love this topic, but are we the only business nerds out there that like love talking about all this stuff, or
such a business nerd. I got all of my kids who are now grown and out of the house, but with the shows that I got them, all of us to watch are Shark Tank and The Profit and things like that. So
that's my house. I love it. I love it. But, you know, I was also born and raised by an entrepreneur too. So I'm right there with you. It's just, it's fun table talk. It's fun dinner talk and it's fun. It's just great. So I want to keep this brief and brilliant, although I could keep on going and going and going, but I don't want to, you know, just take up too much of our listeners' times. But how can we help you? How can we support you? How can we learn more from you? Where can we find you? David?
Thank you. So my website is www.franchiseyourfreedom.com. I've got, you know, different podcasts I've been on, guests that you can find. I'm on YouTube with some videos, et cetera. All that can be found there. The easiest way to get a hold of me is dweaver@franchoice.com. That's my email address. Shoot me an email. We can schedule a time. So that would be the easiest way. If you want to learn more, I do a executive roundtable where I limit it to about 7 to 10 folks. I do that every 2 weeks to once a month to every 2 weeks, depending on demand. And that's an open forum. I walk people through a very short slide deck that I call Franchising as an Asset Class. Mm-hmm. I really focus on, this is my investment philosophy. You can invest in paper assets, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, mm-hmm. real estate assets, or business assets. Mm-hmm. And I think franchising slides right between real estate assets and business assets as it relates to time, money, involvement, et cetera. So that's sort of the topic. But then that only takes maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then we really just do Q&A. What are your questions about franchising? How do we, you know, do you want to take next steps and that kind of thing? Some do, some don't. So that's something that I do at least once a month.
That's great. That's great. Okay. And we'll drop all of that detail in the show notes for our awesome listeners and thriving business owners out there in the audience and curious business owners. You know, everybody's kind of got the itch some way or another. So a couple of quick last questions here. Favorite business book?
Oh, favorite business book? I would say for existing business owners, that's your biggest audience, it would be Traction by Gina Wickman. It's, I mean, the EOS system is very similar to what franchises deliver. Again, it's also like that ISO 9000, right? For manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It takes time to implement, but if you want to get yourself out of your business and your business is too connected to you as the leader, implement systems. And that's, absolutely, that's the best book to start the process. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite business movie?
The one that comes to mind, I can't think of it. It's the Wall Street is the name of the movie.
Okay.
Greed is good. I mean, that's just like capitalism on steroids, the 80s, the big 80s and all that. You gotta love it.
And then what's your personal motto when you're having, you know, that journey, those days when you're kind of feeling like derailed or deflated, do you have anything to go to that you kind of tell yourself to remind yourself to keep going?
Oh, I would say my motto doesn't really fit your question, but my motto is I never want to wish I would have.
Okay. I love so it.
If you have an idea and you want to do it, just start doing it, right? Like just get out there and do it and see if it works. So that's sort of been very consistent since I was a kid. I would say when I'm deflated and I need to reset, I'm a Colorado mountain guy. So I get lost in the woods and I come back when I got my act together. That's always the best reset.
Action, fresh air.
Mountain biking, hiking, hunting, whatever. Yep.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all of your words of wisdom and sharing your story with us. Best of luck to you. And let's definitely stay connected.
Thank you, Annette. I appreciate it. And I will.
Absolutely.
Wow. What an episode. Did you learn something new? I hope so. I am so happy you were able to be here with us today. I'd love to hear from you. Leave me a review and I will be sure to read it and respond to you. Also, if you'd like to email me, my email address is urock@ievolveconsulting.com. Hit subscribe and every Tuesday you'll get notification when the next episode drops. We really have some amazing interviews and tips in the future.
Anything you need, I'm here for you. I want you to keep your momentum. I want to help you stay accountable. I want you to stay inspired. I want you to evolve. So please let me know what you need, and I'd love to hear from you. Take care. Until next time.